Well, good morning. Morning. I'm glad you've come. We have a good group. It's always good to come and see and look out and see who's here. I'm always encouraged to see your faces. I'm glad that God is important enough for you in your life for you to come and worship Him this morning. And our God is good. Amen. 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 This is a big day. I've thought about this day for probably a year. And I thought about the date last year for several years. This congregation came into existence in 2000. It's now 2021. It's time, 2022. That's correct. It's time. It's time for us to be put in order. This is our second go-around at this. The last time this congregation proved that it was willing to submit to men. That's a big deal. So this time, we just have to pair that willingness with the willingness of men to be put in order. I'm going to read to you the texts that are commonly referred to as the qualifications or the qualities for eldership. We're just going to read through all three. As you know, I have preached several lessons on this. This is the fourth in this particular series. I preached 8 or 10 last year. So if you think you've heard an eldership sermon or two, you're correct. So we will wrap this up by reading from the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with the conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Turn over a few pages, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Titus chapter 1, verse 6. Titus chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. That's what we're looking for. There are men in this congregation that meet those qualities, that have those qualities. Is there any man who meets all of them perfectly? No. So what do we do? Do we remain a church out of order? Do we remain a flock without shepherds? Or do we take and we look and we say, yes, on balance, I believe this man meets the qualities. Now, that's a different choice for you and for me and for everyone in this auditorium. Everyone, every member of this congregation must make their choice along those lines. Look to the Scriptures. If you read from Scriptures that a man should be something and there's a glaring error that he is not, or he is not to be something and there is a glaring error that he is, that man does not bear the qualities of a shepherd and should not be in the office. Can I agree to all those terms? My wife and I read these to ourselves a couple of nights ago in talking about this very situation. How each member feels about that will matter, because we're going to write names down of men we feel have those qualities, those men that we feel are shepherds for this congregation. So what do we look to as far as the process of installing elders in the congregation? There is biblical precedent. There is apostolic example for how we should proceed. I've entitled this section, Apostolic Examples of Appointment. One of the things that many people have asked me about is, well, what happens if we go through the process and we end up with what happened last year? Doesn't that mean the process has failed? Absolutely not. In fact, before we ever got to that point, we made sure that part of the process was a men's business meeting at 4 o'clock of the day that we took up the names to ask that very question. So instead of thinking the process failed, the process absolutely worked perfectly. Now, what we did not get to do is we did not get to proceed to the appointment process. So I want to take a look at three pieces of Scripture and look at some points that can be taken from them. And the first, our brother Truman read to us earlier today from Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. This is on Paul's first missionary journey. From a time standpoint, it's interesting to me to note that this journey lasted no more than a year and a half, 2 years at most. And if this is Paul's first missionary journey, what does that tell us about these churches? They didn't exist. So we're talking about congregations that had existed much less than 2 years, maybe even a year. Congregations that had existed for less than 2 years. What happens? Let's read the text and see what we can learn that we can apply today. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. And when they, that's Paul and Barnabas, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now, first of all, they didn't have a 1 Timothy chapter 3. They didn't have a Titus. Those books didn't exist at that time. Paul and Barnabas appoint men in those congregations in every church. Every church. What is the Lord's will for this congregation? What is the Lord's will for every church that Paul and Barnabas went to? Led by the Holy Spirit. What did the Holy Spirit have them do? Appoint elders in some churches? In a few of the churches? In all the churches? Well, by definition, these people are new converts. Also, yes. Could you argue and say, well, this guy hadn't been a Christian for 2 years. How in the world can he be an elder? First of all, and let's be frank about this, this is a combination of people, many of whom would have been raised under the law of Moses. So just so you know, that part of the context is there. Men who would have walked with God for a long time. They were appointed in every church. That means every church should submit and appoint men as elders. And that means this one. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Notice that in Acts chapter 14, Paul committed them to the Lord, or commended them to the Lord. He says the same kind of thing in Acts chapter 20. What does that mean? It means that we have to trust people that they will read the Word of God, they will submit to God, and we have to trust that God will help them get through the mistakes that they will make. Let me just say right off the bat, if we're to install elders in this congregation, they'll be babies. You know what they'll do? They'll fall down. Almost certainly they will make mistakes. Almost certainly they will do something they shouldn't do, or they won't do something they should. That's just going to happen. We're not electing angels to be elders. We're talking about human beings that should be commended to the Lord and committed to the Lord. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, what can we know about what Paul refers to here? Now, this is not a description of an appointment, but Paul is going to refer to the appointment of these men, these elders from Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. This is what Paul says. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Whose church? God's. Notice that the Trinity is involved here. God the Father is involved here. God the Son is involved here. And the Holy Spirit is involved here. Pay careful attention to the flock in which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. If we are to have elders in this congregation, the Holy Spirit will be involved. Do you believe God works in this world? Do you believe that we can resist him sometimes? We can. What we have to do is we have to tune up and tune in to the Holy Spirit and tune into the will of God and tune into the scriptures and tune into those things and submit ourselves to God. And if we are to have men here, they will be installed by the congregation, but with the aid of God through his Spirit. One more apostolic example of appointment, and this comes from Titus chapter 1. For those of you who were reading along with, you may have wondered why I skipped verse 5. Well, it's because we were coming back to it. In verse 5, we have something a little bit of the other two verses that we've read. Paul says this to Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. That is why I left you in Crete, that you might put what remained in order to appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Acts chapter 14, which church did they install elders in? Every. On Crete, which churches needed elders? Every. What were they without them? Out of order. Our God is a God of patterns. In the book of Hebrews, the writer there says that God told Moses to pay careful attention to the pattern he'd given him on the mountain. And what he was talking about there was a description of the holy place and the holiest of holies. And the curtain and the ark. And the mercy seat. Because what Moses could not know and what the Israelites could not know for 1400 years before Christ came is God was showing them how heaven worked. So they might have thought to themselves, why is God so particular that we have a holy place and a holiest of holies? And why a curtain and why an ark and why a mercy seat? Who cares? What God was showing them, there was a separation between God and man. That veil between the holiest and the holy of holies was there on purpose. And do you know what tore at Christ's death? From top to bottom. That veil. And now we don't have a human being who we have to go to God. We get to God not through a human high priest, but the eternal high priest. Our Savior Jesus Christ. Who doesn't go into the Holy of Holies once a year. He lives in the Holy of Holies. Our hope is anchored to the throne of God. In the presence of God. In front of the mercy seat. All the time. Moses didn't know that. But God said, I want you to do it this way. We don't know what we're missing by not following the pattern today. Should we stand before God and say, hey, I know we're out of order, God, but, you know, just wasn't feeling it. Didn't think, I looked at that list and I was able to cut a chink of armor out of it. Every man in this group, I've known you guys too long. I know your secrets. I know what's right and wrong about you. And you know what? You're just not blameless, or you're not hospitable enough, or on and on and on. You're not apt to teach. We can take everyone. They're not disqualifications. We can use them that way. So what do? We humbly come before our God and we realize that it is his church, that he wants in his order. And we will seek and we must find men who will fill that role. This time will be different. Now, I mean that in a couple different ways. Hopefully it's different that in a couple months from now we have elders in this congregation. I pray that that is the case. Sorry, my button's not working. Come on. One more time. There we go. But it will also be different in that the results of the selection will be different. How do I know that? This is a different congregation than was here a year ago. Since we began this process, I shared this with you, we've had 19 people come and 16 people leave. This congregation is not the same congregation that selected two men by a certain percentage last January. It's not the same group, and we should not expect the same result. It will be different. Here's how we'll manage this process. If you woke up today and you're like, wait a minute, we're going to try and install elders here? Thanks for paying attention to the first three sermons, first 12, bulletin articles, emails, whatever. That's all forgiven, but you got to start paying attention today. Today's the day you got to start paying attention. In every member's mailbox was a sheet of paper for you to write names on. There is a wooden box in the mailroom. If you are a member here, you got a sheet. Between now and January the 30th, you have time to write down the names of men you feel have the qualities of eldership. You can, and how many you write, this is always a bone of contention with people, how many names you write down is your business. Okay, let me say this again. How many names you write down is your business. You may write down one, you may write down none, you may write down five. You write down the names of men you feel who are and will be shepherds for this congregation. I say the number two a lot because we have to have at least two to have a plurality. It means nothing more than that. Yes, you can write down more than two names. January 9th, sheets go out. January 30th, they're taken up, they're counted, and announced. If we have two or more men who reach the 55% threshold of ballots returned, then we will move into the appointment process. We didn't do that last time. Hopefully we will. We'll hold a business meeting. We'll ask the men who have the percentage, if we have two or more, do they desire the office? If they do, we'll appoint men as appointers to do what? To talk to the rest of the percentage. If you've ever been through this eldership process, you may have people who object. You don't just want to say to those people, too bad, get over it. You want to manage that situation. We want to act as go-between. The Bible has several principles about the idea of how do we deal with each other. We deal with each other with grace and with forgiveness, and we deal with each other with at least two or three witnesses. So we're going to choose two men to be appointers to go as go-betweens between those who object and the men that we're discussing. And we will try to overcome those objections because we're a church, and every church in the Bible had elders. So February 6th, sheets will go out for those that potentially object. You don't have to object. There's no rule saying that everybody has to object. Please don't object. But if you do, we'll try and deal with those questions seriously and scripturally and see if they can be overcome. Okay. Those are the bones of the sermon. Here's where I want to go from here. I want to talk about the book of Proverbs. You can be turning over there if you like. We'll be in Proverbs 15 in just a moment. My wife wrote me a note on the way up here. This is for the church, not for individuals. This is for God, not individuals. We're not, people, it's funny. It's funny what people think preachers mean when they say things, both good and bad. Sometimes people take good lessons from things I'd never meant. Sometimes people think weird things about what I do say. This is about God's will for this congregation. This is about the fact that we are out of order, and it should hurt us and pain us every day that we're not in order. And we should look out and we should say, how can we remedy that? How can we align our will with God's will? We can do that by installing elders of this congregation. I don't know what you think of me or what motives I may not have. Let me tell you something. This is in your hands, not mine. I may love or hate what you choose. I may think it's a great decision. I may think it's a terrible decision. Do you know what it doesn't do? It doesn't matter what I think. The church makes the decision. And if the church says that these two men are have the qualities to be elder, if I'm going to be a member of this congregation, you know what I have to do? I have to submit just like everybody else. And I assure you that I trust the will of God, that the Holy Spirit will aid in what we do, and that I promise you that the men who are put in here I will commit them to the Lord, and I will do everything possible to make sure that they and this church are successful together. Heard a story this week. I don't tell good stories. Dave Brown tells me all this all the time. I don't tell good stories. It's not a great story. I had to steal it from somebody. Philip Martin and Terry Francis do a little podcast, and they were talking. I don't even know what the subject was, but Philip was talking about a time when he met in a congregation that met in a facility that was multi-use. It was like a community center, and they would meet on Sundays, and other groups would meet during the week, and they were having a congregational meeting about something. And the man who managed the facility came in all mad, and he wants to talk to the church members right now. And Philip's out there talking to him, and he doesn't understand what the guy is mad about, and he's upset because someone has stolen his extension cord. $10 extension cord. And Philip said, you know what this guy was? He was $100 angry over a $10 extension cord. You know people like that? Don't write their names down. I'm dead serious. You know who we're looking for? We're looking for the grown-up in the room. Write down the name of the man who won't get $100 angry over a $10 problem, because there are going to be plenty of $10 problems. And if we install men in this congregation who get $100 angry over something, we're going to have bigger problems. When maybe all that needs to be done is just buy the guy an extension cord and shake his hand. The book of Proverbs tells us a lot about that. The remainder of our time will simply be me reading to you from the Word of God. What kind of men do we want? We want men who are wise, peaceful, strong, and calm. Wise, peaceful, strong, and calm. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. When you got that sheet in front of you, ask yourself that question. Which way is this man going to go? How can you tell the difference? This is something that the older I get and the more that I read the Scriptures, I really begin to see people through the lens of Scripture better. Because the Bible will warn you about bad actors. Because you can look at their fruits. Jesus says, by their fruits you will know them. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. You have to be strong enough to ignore an insult. You have to be strong enough to put the church first and your ego second. You know how I can tell which way you are or not? Do I know you're upset immediately? If I come to you with a problem, we have men and elders, I come to you with a problem, and I state that problem, and that guy can't wait for me to finish because he's got something to say, and he's going to tell me what's going on. And then he's going to go out there, and he's going to tell everybody in the congregation what's going on. Don't write that man's name down. That's not the adult in the room. I've talked about this before. I learned this lesson from Brian Yont. I was the third guy in a sports staff, and we were awful cocky and young, and we knew what we were doing, and if you didn't believe us, just ask us. And this, I'll use his name, Pat. He knows who he is. Pat and I were mad about something. One of the other departments had used our gear and torn it up, and we were mad as hornets, and we wanted vengeance right now. And it was Friday night, and they were messing up we did a high school football show, and it was just blowing up in front of us because these clowns, these news goons, couldn't leave our gear alone. You can tell I'm over it. Well, we wanted vengeance now. We didn't understand what Brian was doing. Brian wasn't yelling at anybody. We wanted him to yell at people. We might have yelled at some people. Do you know what they had Monday morning at 10:30? Manager's meeting. Manager's meeting. Do you know when the time to bring up the subject was? Not Friday night at 10:30. What a good manager knows is, be cool, sleep on it, and deal with it in the proper channels. A fool wants to run his mouth now. A man who's fit to be a shepherd knows that sometimes the best answer is let's wait and let's pray about it and let's think about it. And let's make a decision at a different time. The prudent man ignores an insult. Proverbs 17, verse 27 through 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. That's what we're looking for. Men of cool spirit. Men who don't take $10 problems and blow them up into $100 house fires. Elders are where problems go to die. Elders are where problems go to die, not where problems go to get spread through the church. So if that's who we want, what do we not want? No fool, no liar, no favorites. No fool, no liar, no favorites. This is a big deal. If we as saw men who are elders, they will be elders not just for their friends, not just for the people that are like them, not for the people that are their age or their income bracket or whatever it is. Every sheep in this congregation will be their responsibility equally. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You seeing a theme here? Proverbs 6:16 through 19, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Leviticus 19 is the one deviation from the book of Proverbs, but I like the way this was worded here better than I could find it in the book of Proverbs. You shall do no injustice in court. The idea of thou shalt not bear false witness, that has a lot to do. That doesn't mean just lying. It means how you treat the poor in court. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. In many ways, the eldership is a request for you to become anonymous. You're going to have to put yourself behind. Before you step into that office, know that. Know that you may have to take great pains to make sure that you care for and listen to the people that you don't maybe care for naturally in your social get-togethers. And that happens, right? I'm 54 years old, white guy. There are people that are going to talk like me, know things like me, have personal experience like me. I can't necessarily relate to a 20-year-old. Or maybe a 70 or 80-year-old. But the man who becomes an elder has a responsibility to show favoritism to none. What did Peter learn when Cornelius received the Holy Spirit? I now realize that God shows no partiality. Neither should his representatives here on the church. So we're looking for wise, cool, and strong, not for lying fools. Not for partiality, but for those who seek the will of God at all times. Proverbs 25, verse 11 through 12. Proverbs 25, 11 and 12. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. There's a lot in that verse. We won't take the time to talk about it. But you're looking for a man who knows how to talk to people. That's a skill. And it takes humility. It takes the fact that you're going to build a relationship with every member of this congregation. Do you know who you'll listen to? Somebody you know. Somebody who you know loves you. If you're an elder and you've never spoken my name, you've never talked to me, you've never invited me into your house, all of a sudden you want to come and tell me about sin in my life? All of a sudden you want to come and tell me how I need to change? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Proverbs 22, verse 24 through 25. Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Proverbs 26, verse 20 through 22. Proverbs 26, 20 through 22. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to a fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Men who become elders take on a special responsibility that when they're told a secret, it stays a secret. They have a special responsibility not to be gossips. They have a special responsibility to recognize gossip. They have a special responsibility not to cooperate with gossip. I'll tell you how this works. People will come to you and they got a problem. Oh, what are we going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? A lot of times what's going on, and many of you have heard me talk about this, there's an old James Garner movie called Support Your Local Gunfighter. James Garner movie, Support Your Local Gunfighter. Do you know why that title is? Because the lily-livered citizens of the town would not fight the bad guy, so what do? They go hire a gunslinger. Now, are they going to stand behind that gunslinger when things go bad? If the bad guys have the gunslinger down, are they going to be of any... Nope. People try and get you to do the same thing. People may want the elders to be their gunfighter. Problems go to elders to die. And sometimes the way that die is by this simple phrase, well, have you talked to them about that yet? Proverbs 22 and 10. Well, Proverbs 26, the reason I read that to you is to explain that gossip can be put down by removing the fire. Just like fire has to have three elements, you have to have fuel, heat, and you have oxygen. You take the fuel away, the fire dies out. Gossip is the same way. If Karen comes to me and tells me a juicy bit of gossip, you know what I can do? I can say two things. A, I don't want to hear that. That's gossip. And then the second thing I can say is nothing. Do you know what will end? The gossip. Now, if it doesn't end, elders have a special responsibility to guard the flock. And gossip and scoffing is a pernicious evil. Proverbs 22, verse 10, drive out a scoffer. This is rebuking the gainsayers. Elders have a responsibility not just to serve the flock, but to protect it from spiritual death. Drive out the scoffer, strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease. Elders are to look for gossip and scoffers and quarrelers, and they are to tell them to repent or get out. You want to know why this congregation has struggled for 20 years to have elders? A lot of it has got to do with the fact that we've had a lot of gossip and a lot of scoffing along the way. And that gossip and that scoffing doesn't bring us together. It doesn't maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It drives us apart. I'm begging for the time when we have men who will not put up with that kind of foolishness. The Word of God says, drive out a scoffer and problems will cease. Two more, and then we'll wrap it up with a last. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. Proverbs 11 and verse 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Love covers a multitude of sins. We're looking for men who take issues and they die. They go away. That they're held in trust. When you're thinking about writing a name down, think about that. Why nip it in the bud, as Barney would say? Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. The reason you don't want to quarrel some man, the reason you want to drive out a scoffer is once it starts, you may not be able to get ahead of it. It may be so pernicious, it may be so dangerous that it will wash the church away. So elders must be dedicated to peace. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. Maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What are we looking for? We're looking for men who are serious about the Word of God, serious about the work of God, who love the church, and are willing to sacrifice for it. That means sacrificing themselves and their will for God's and keeping the church at peace. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. If you think I've been preaching to potential elders, you are correct. I've been preaching to those of us who will write down names and to those men that will hopefully be in the office one day. If there's nothing else I can get you to hear, hear Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. That's what you're looking for in that man you write down. But a harsh word stirs up anger. Is the man spiritually minded enough? Is he at peace with his God? Does he realize that if someone insults him, it won't change the fact that he's going to heaven, that Jesus is on his side, that he's a Christian and his hope is secure? Say what you will about me. Knock yourself out. I'm good. And I'm going to love you enough that even if you come at me with insults, I'm going to say thank you. I'll take that under advisement. Or I can be a jerk. And I can prove to you who's in charge here. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get in there and straighten these people out right now. That's what's going on around this church. They ain't had no strong hand to get in there and discipline them like I'm going to do. Where was that in what we read today? Was that in 1 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 1? No. A soft answer turns away wrath. A harsh word stirs up anger. That's what you're looking for. That's what we're looking for. Men, please be advised. That's our lesson. 3 weeks from today, we will unlock the box. We will count the names and we will announce the percentages. I pray to God that we have men who've met not only the qualities but the percentage. I pray to God then that we will have a smooth process in appointing those men. I pray that we are guided by the Word of God. Go to prayer with me just briefly. Our God, we ask you to look down on us. Lord, we are your servants. We are your sheep. We are your church. Help us to seek your pattern. Help us to seek your will. Lord, please guide us. Strengthen us and encourage us. Help us to submit ourselves and be humble and find men who love you and love this body enough to serve it. Lord, please forgive us. Help us to seek your will. We pray in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Have you submitted to God? Have you said to God, as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, not my will be done but yours? That's what Christianity is. If you've never become a Christian, you do not have the hope of eternal life. Your sins are not forgiven. You do not have Jesus as a Savior and Lord. Won't you come into His kingdom and serve Him faithfully so that one day you can meet Him and He will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If we can help you, we'll have your sins washed away in baptism this morning as we stand and we sing.